let's call to order our May 5th edition of the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. Thank you. We'll have roll call, please.
Couser?
Present. Van Gunnen?
Donaldson?
Present.
Keel? Smith? Miller, absent. Wendt, absent. Struthers, absent.
You've been provided with a tentative agenda for tonight's meeting. Are there any additions or changes to note?
We would like to point, let the commission know and the audience if anyone is here for the Burbano rezoning, which is case number REZ01-14, they have withdrawn the application.
Otherwise, all in favor of approval of tonight's agenda, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Negative, same sign. We'll approve our minutes now. You've been provided with a draft minutes from the last meeting. Any additions or corrections? If no further corrections, the minute stands approved. Now we're up to public comments. This is the time for anyone in the audience that would like to comment about anything that is not on the agenda, any general topic. Anyone at all? We're up to old business. We have a couple of tabled business items, the Natty subdivision and the Black conditional use permit. Looks like no new materials have been submitted, and
for Natty, nothing has been submitted.
As far as the campground, I spoke with the applicant, Mrs. Black, twice regarding getting materials for this next meeting, and we have not received any staff. I'm not sure her or her any representative is here this evening to speak on her behalf either.
On to new business. Looks like item 8.1, the Burbano rezoning, has been withdrawn. If there was anyone here to comment on that, we just move forward. Yeah. Okay. We are up to item 8.2, CUP 07-14, the Pyramid Network Services LLC. And is that you, Leanne?
This is a conditional use permit application, case number CUP 07-14. Property information, the property owner is the Lauren A. Simpson Trust. Generally, the property is located on the intersection of Highway 30 and Interstate 35 on the southeast corner, along 241st Street. Parcel identification number, it's located at Section 18. Milford Township. Size of the area is about 7.5 acres gross. Current zoning, not Milford, Grant Township, I'm sorry. Current zoning is commercial light industrial, and it's currently used, assessed as industrial for assessment purposes according to the county assessor. It is designated on the Ames River Fringe Plan as highway-oriented commercial, and it is within 2 miles of the city of Ames. In general location maps, the property, as I said, is located in Section 18 of Grant Township to southeast of the city of Ames. The yellow hatched area is the property under consideration, and those orange property boundaries are those properties within a quarter mile that received notice of tonight's meeting. It is for a conditional use permit for a monopole cell tower. It's an associated equipment approximately 150 feet high, and the shelter would be 12 by 30 feet in dimensions. There's a leased area of approximately 35 by 75 feet, and then within that, the fenced area, the compound, is 33 by 73 feet. The tower is proposed to be located 442.46 feet from the north property line, and then a little under 200 feet from the west property line. And all those properties south and west are zoned commercial light industrial, and to the east and south, A1 agriculture, and used for row crop to the east. The commission does know that all conditional use permits have to meet certain standards for approval as set forth in section 90.04 of the Code of Ordinances of Story County, Iowa. Just quickly going through each of these. The compatibility criteria, again, with the proposed tower located towards the rear of the parcel, and I'll show you a couple images here shortly, and it's rear of an established business, the ability to view it will be diminished somewhat with existing vegetation and existing buildings. It's set back from the edge of property line, so that it does meet all the required setbacks, and it would be compatible with the industrial nature of the area. Regarding transition, again, the existing uses and vegetation helped create the transition as well as the proposed setbacks. Traffic, by sheer nature of the application, cell towers don't require a lot of traffic or demand a lot of traffic. There will be some traffic at the time that it's constructed, but then annual maintenance, likely on a monthly basis. Parking and loading. Generally, again, not allow parking and loading with these except for during the construction phase. Signs and lighting, the application did indicate that FAA application has been submitted. This is under the general height limitation or height requirement where the obnoxious lighting is required, but it is along a major travel corridor north to south from Des Moines to Minneapolis with regards to air traffic. So the applicant may have some more information whether or not that determination has been finalized. And signs would be limited to just that required by FCC notice criteria. And then environmental protection, generally in regards to cell towers, we find that those do not generate vibration, dust, smoke, fumes, odor, glare, or groundwater pollution. And noise is very limited to any HVAC on site. Just a couple shots. This is from Google Earth, or no, this is one of our pictometry images, showing the south side of the existing building. So on the north side, the top of the screen will be the 244th Street and U.S. Highway 30, where you see the yellow and red on the bottom of the screen is where the proposed cell tower would go. So it is set back quite a distance from the property line. And then what I tried to do is to use Google Earth and see what it would look like, give you some idea what it would look like from the different travel experience down Highway 30. The first image on the left, and these were included in the staff report prepared for tonight as well. First image on the left is in the eastbound lane on Highway 30 looking due south, and you can see what would be the cell tower behind the building. I was able to put in the height and then draw a tower up to that height within Google Earth. And then the image in the middle is going further west, again on the eastbound lane, but shortly after you come off the on-ramp onto Highway 30 off of Interstate 35. And then it's a little bit further east to give you the idea without trees what the size would be in relation to existing structure. In addition to the development impacts that I mentioned, the commission must find that the five standards on the screen are satisfied. Those deal with adequately safeguarding the health, safety, and general welfare of persons residing or working in or adjoining or surrounding property, impair adequate supply and quality of light and air to surrounding properties, unduly increase congestion of roads or hazard from fire, flood, or similar dangers, diminish or impair established property values on adjoining or surrounding property, and lastly, not be in accord with the intent, purpose, and spirit of land development regulations and county development plan. And all these have been satisfied in staff summary. Also, cell towers have a supplemental standards defined in chapter 90 of the Code of Ordinances. Section 90.10 does describe those supplemental standards. I won't go into those in great detail. Those are all defined in the staff report. But They addressed items such as co-location, separation, requirements, height, setbacks, fencing and screening, aesthetics, compliance with other regulations, obstruction of view, removal of abandoned towers, facilities, and submittal requirements. And these were addressed by the applicant satisfactorily as well. This was sent through the standard interagency review team, and Dave Swanson from the Stray County Assessor's Office did note that the monopole tower and equipment will be assessed to the landowner for taxation purposes. It is not located in the special flood hazard area, so as such our floodplain management program regulations do not apply. And we did send out notification letters of tonight's meeting on April 30th, and the legal notices were published in all three newspapers on May 1st, and until up to tonight's meeting, we don't have any written or verbal comments to share. And with that, your alternatives are on the screen, and I'll be glad to answer any questions. Have any questions for Leanne? Seeing none, is our applicant in the room? Pyramid Network Services, Jill Coyle, is that you?
Yes, my name is Jill Coyle. Good evening.
Address as well.
312 East 70th Street, Kansas City, Missouri, 64113. And I did note it in the log there.
All right.
Well, good evening. Thank you for having us here. As Ms. Lori Harder explained, we believe that we've put together a good application here that addresses all the items that need to be addressed, including the supplementals that are in your code that are specific to towers. I can address what I handed out to you there. When we first submitted, one requirement of Story County is that we substantiate that the height that we propose is the minimum height required. This is going to be a tower owned by SBA Communications Corporation, and SBA's business model is basically to own towers and then lease space to the carriers. So Verizon will be your initial tenant on this tower, and co-location opportunities will come thereafter after the tower is built, and SBA will actively market that. So we want to note that, because that will also go a long way to curb the proliferation of towers here in your county. But back to the handout. This handout was prepared by the Verizon radio frequency engineer that has designed the network. And here she lets you know that she needs at least 146 feet on this proposed tower to meet her coverage objectives. And then as you can see, the maps that follow there show how your coverage is going to be improved as you move mainly east along US 30 there. You'll see that you're going to get a lot more coverage as people are traveling on US 30 exiting I-35 there. A lot of the outdoor coverage, which is shown on this first map, shows up as black, is actually gone. So I just wanted to explain why I handed that out, because that was one thing that I wanted to fill in. Another question you may have is regarding the FAA determination. I still don't have that yet. As I noted in the application we filed on March 18th, it takes 45 to 60 days to get that determination back from the FAA, so I do not have that determination letter for you tonight. I was hoping to get my hands on it, but I checked this morning and we still don't have that back. You could conditionally approve tonight. Very good chance by the time your next meeting comes up where a decision would be made to move forward with your recommendation, we will have that FAA determination for you. I do want to also point out, as Ms. Lori Arter stated, this is only 150 feet tall, so it will not be required to be lit. Okay, so I know that that is a concern of a lot of folks, especially any of those residences that may be nearby there. With that, honestly, I would just be here to answer any questions that you have for me, that the board has. Like I said, I think we've met most of the requirements here, of the child regulations for the county. We appreciate those regulations. Frankly, a company like SBA, who does look to market their towers to all the carriers, would also like to keep the number of towers down here in Story County. They'll be there. This 150-foot pole could hold AT&T, T-Mobile, and all the rest down the road. So, one thing I did forget to mention, as we're talking about co-location, is the last picture handout I gave you. And the red line there indicates the search area that we were working with. We contacted IDOT, actually has a tower right across the street, and we contacted them. They do not allow co-location on their towers except for state-owned equipment. There's an email to that effect in the application packet. The nearest existing tower, which is here, is approximately a mile to the northwest, and it lies outside the search ring. And it's a U.S. Cellular tower, and actually Verizon's already on that tower. So that would not be a co-location opportunity for Verizon because we're already there. This tower is a capacity site. So what that means is rather than just getting coverage, it's there to offload that tower and this site that's already there. Due to the incredible amount of data usage these days, people are using on their phones, emails, watching videos, etc. That existing site that lies outside the search ring is taxed, is overtaxed. And so this site, not only would it improve the coverage along US 30, which the RF engineer note there on that second page as one of the goals of the site, but it's also to help out that other existing Verizon tower.
Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Coyle?
Do you happen to know how tall that tower is to the northwest?
It's also 150 feet, and there are two antenna arrays on it. So believe that we're at approximately 140, 150 on that tower.
Do you know if it is lit?
Lighting
was required on that tower?
I do not know.
Okay. The standard is 150, under 200, you said, is the standard?
Yes, typically.
Okay.
Now, if we're in a flight path or something along those lines, there may be a different determination made.
Right. I was just looking for some precedent as to whether a different determination had been made on that tower that might also be applied to your tower here.
I do not know that. As far as I know, it's not lit.
What information is the FAA determination going to provide, just whether or not it needs to be lit? Is there any other information that report would look to provide?
It would basically probably just be a letter that says that there's no hazard. And that would be it.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Now would be the time for public comment. That anyone that would like to come to the podium and state their name and address and address this issue, you are now welcome to do so.
Orrin R. Simpson, the property owner, and I noticed in your beginning you had Lauren A. Simpson. It's R. That's all I've got.
Oh. Well, thank you. Anyone else? Any other questions for staff? Otherwise, I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion that we recommend conditional approval of the conditional use permit, and the condition being the FAA determination.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Session. We'll have a roll call vote. Gill?
Yes.
Couser?
Yes.
Miller? Oh, absent. Donaldson?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
The ayes have it. Motion carried. Congratulations. It is too bad about the DOT, though. That seems kind of inhospitable of them. Right? All right. Item 9, any other business? Follow-up on items recommended to the Board of Supervisors and the Board of Adjustment.
The Granddaddy's conditional use permit, which is the Blacks, one of the three Blacks Heritage Farm conditional use permit. Did the Board of Adjustment took action on that last Wednesday evening, and they denied that application. So we're in a 30-day appeal period on that. And then the church application was tabled so that the applicant could provide some additional information. I believe that.
Bart, what did they do about that?
The camping is still tabled with you all, which I'll talk about under staff comments.
Long-range planning update? Commission comments?
I just had one quick comment for this group of people. I thought that their proposal was very well put together, and I appreciate that. It made it a lot easier for us to do our homework and know what we were up against here. So.
Yeah. Anything at all? Any further staff comments?
You do. Back on, you have two items that are tabled before you. And what we would like to get some direction from the commission, I think rather than have a table date without a date uncertain, it might make it kind of arduous to every month have to have it remain on the table. And I think staff's perspective, we'd like to see it progress through and not hold there indefinitely. We have some cases that date back like 12 years, and we don't want to get into that again. And so I would suggest that you direct staff to work with the chair to draft a letter for her signature to both the applicants of Natty and Black, telling them that they have until May 13th, which is your normal deadline for items for the June agenda, to present any additional materials to planning and development staff so that we have time to review them and present them in a staff memo to you for your June meeting. And then in that same letter, give the option that if they want to withdraw the application, to notify us by that same date so that we may officially withdraw the application. And then in that same letter, also put if nothing is submitted or no response is received by that May 13th date, it's your understanding that staff will suggest removing it from the table and you will take action in one means and whether it be a recommending approval or denial, would be taking action on what's before you at that time. So basically going back to the way the application was when it was originally submitted. I would suggest that, or recommend that you direct staff to do such.
Great idea. Do we need a motion and a second?
I think that'd be good to have.
Okay, and a second?
Okay.
Roll call vote?
Yes.
Yes.
Elder? Donaldson?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
I'll work with you to get that to you for your signature.
Great. Thank you.
And is there any guidance in the development regulations about when an application goes stale?
No, and we've tried to add that on preliminary plats specifically for years. There is on a final plat that has a sunset, and that's related to the Code of Iowa, too. We've tried to add that for years, but we've always received some pushback from our legal counsel, but we may try that again. I think in the future, if you table something, we'll jump in immediately and say, please ask staff for some direction as to date certain and that kind of.
I think that makes sense to be part of the standard procedure, that if we table something to put kind of an expiration date on it, probably depending on the scope of the project, but the idea that tabling something indefinitely and then always waiting for more information doesn't make any sense.
I think Natty was back in November.
Mm-hmm. Well, if nothing further, I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Hi.
Hi.